All right. Thank you, young ladies. My, my, my. That's what we have in Christ. We have everlasting joy. Amen. Appreciate the young ladies doing a good job for us. I want you to open your Bibles this morning. I'm not going to a Christmas text per se. I did somewhat in Sunday school. But I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. If you get to Ezra, you go to your right. If you get to 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Old Testament now, go back to your right. I want you to find the book of Nehemiah. I've always kind of felt somewhat kin to Nehemiah. He had lots of troubles doing God's work because the enemy came against him so. He had to work with the mason tool, the trowel in one hand, the sword as it were in the other to defend. And so a lot of preachers have had a lot of fellowship with that idea sometimes. But Nehemiah chapter 6, speak to you on a word you've probably picked up in the news in the last few days. I thought I'd just use the word for my subject here. That is fake news. Anybody heard that one? Fake news. Now, the word fake's not in the text I'm going to read, but it's got the word feign in there, and that's pretty close to being the same thing. Deception involved. We mostly know what a fake is. I think about the fellow that needed a job real bad, and the circus came to town, and he went and applied, and the guy said, "Well, I only got one job." Said, "My monkey died." Said, "I'd put you in a monkey suit and put you in the cage." And guy said, "Well, I'm desperate. I'll take the job." He said, "Well, it's not hard. All you got to do is scratch and grunt." And he said, "You don't think the folks will know I'm a fake?" He said, no, you can fool them." So he took the job, got in the monkey suit, and pretty soon he kind of got to liking it. He got to where he could kind of swing around on the cage and swing around on a limb. He got bolder and bolder, and by accident he went over the cage and fell in the lion's den. He went crying out, screaming, hollering out, "Help, help." The old lion was laying over in the corner, and he looked at him and said, "Shut up, you fool. The crowd will know we're both fakes." Now, it's good to recognize what's fake sometime, amen? Look at Nehemiah now. Don't let that joke be the main thing. There's a little more coming, amen? Nehemiah chapter 6. Let's pick it up in a few verses here. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I did not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?' Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand." Didn't have Facebook back then. Verse 6, "Wherein was written, 'It is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together.' Then I sent unto them, saying, 'There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.'" You see, Nehemiah's job was to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. Ezra, a few years before, had gone back and built the temple. Nehemiah was the cup cupbearer of the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. You remember the Jews have been taken into captivity under the Medes and Persians now, first by Nebuchadnezzar. He's displaced by the Medes and Persians. And Nehemiah has to come before the king pretty well on a daily basis. And he was known as the cupbearer. It means a little bit more than just bringing a cup. It meant he had to taste what was in the cup before the king received it. You see, it was pretty wise of the king. Nehemiah was a Jew. He was not only a Jew, he was a high-placed Jew. He was up in the authority of Israel. And so when the king had him to be his cupbearer, his wine taster, if you please, I mean, if any of the Jews were going to work in the kitchen and slip him some poison, they would have to poison first their own leader, Nehemiah. And so Nehemiah comes before the king, and he's gotten friendly with the king because the king notices that he's having a down day. He's depressed. And the king asked him, he said, "You're not sick, this is spirit." In other words, it scared Nehemiah, and I do a lot of what Nehemiah did. The Bible, if you read it close, said he prayed under his breath for the king's answer right then, right on the spot. You know, sometimes you can find a good place to pray when your eyes are still open. I've had some folks in my car that said they prayed great at 90 miles an hour. Now, I'm kidding around a little bit. But the truth is, Nehemiah prayed on his feet in front of the king. And he told the king, "I've gotten the message that the walls of Jerusalem's torn down." He said, how could I be anything but sad? And the king said, "All right, what do you want?" And Nehemiah made a request, and the king gave him provisions and command that he could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. But what we have here in the text we read is the enemy didn't like that. They didn't like that at all, and there's a lot of enemies out there. But his job was to go back. He had a lot of opposition. He had opposition come, and even some of the good brethren got depressed. They tried tricks on him, and what I read to you was sending Nehemiah fake news about we're going to charge you before the king, you're trying to become the king, and they did all this fake news to try to weaken their hands, to try to stop the job from being done. And so fake news here was what the enemy said. Now you need to understand something. There was a bigger thing, a bigger picture. This was God's work. God one day intended for Jesus Christ, his son, to come and walk within those walls of Jerusalem, to be crucified outside the wall, to enter one day coming back for his kingdom through the eastern gate as he did on that Easter week. And the truth is, this was a job that Satan did not want done. And so he raises up all the opposition that he can against Nehemiah, and part of that opposition is the fake news that he brings. Now, listen, deception does work to a degree in this old sin-cursed world. You know, in World War II, they didn't have the technology they've got now, but there's some clever things done. Do you know, before the invasion of Normandy and other times, that we had tanks made out of cardboard or aired up like balloons? And during the night, we might move them around and shuffle them because we knew the enemy aircraft was trying to make photographs and trying to figure out our strength. In the Desert Storm War, we remember we called him Stormy Norman, General Schwarzkopf. You remember how that he was getting ready to evade Iraq over there, Saddam Hussein, that whole thing that you watched on the TV? You know, the news media, just like they are today, they were prying, they were trying to get information, they were trying to get the general to tell them what he was going to do ahead of time. He was a smart cookie. He let the news media make Iraq think he was going out and coming in from the ocean. Remember that? I laughed when I saw that. He didn't go that way. They all predicted. All showed on all the secrets shown on the news. Instead, he went across the land and wiped them out before they knew what hit them. I remember in a news report after that, in a news conference after that, and one of the reporters stood up and said, "But we thought you were going to the sea." He said, "That's what I want them to think." The news reporter said, "Can you tell us any other ways that we helped you out?" I like that. I like that. I mean, the truth was, deception is a part of it. But here we look and here and we see that false news is being brought, fake news is being brought to Nehemiah. The purpose is to stop his cause, to stop what he was trying to do. And I like Nehemiah's answer. He said, I'm doing a great work. I ain't got time to mess with you guys. And he saw through that whole thing. We've just finished our election here and all that business. And I want to say we live in probably the greatest time of deception the world's ever seen. We've got more means to deceive than ever before. And we look around today and the media, of course, they're low on my list. There's a few of them pretty good, but most of them aren't. And we saw that in the election. And by the way, I want to say something to you. You say, well, the media on TV. No, you better watch the media that you hold in your hand. You better watch your PCs. You better watch the computer thing. You better watch being online. If anything disturbs me today, it's the fact that a preacher like myself can put in years preaching to a church and to a congregation, and people go on the internet and hear some heretic wet behind the ears. Never drove a bus route, never built a Sunday school class, never won a soul, but they're listening to his heresy and think the old preacher's wrong. Help yourself. A sad part there. That's deception that I'm talking to you about, and it's sad. But we've seen it in the politics. They can't get over finding something to blame the election on, can they? Of all people, all the absurdity that you can mention is Hillary talking about fake news. Boy, if that isn't something. Fake news, you mean like when you got off the airplane and was dodging the bullets? And they brought the video back and showed the little girls going out there with flowers to, you know, bullets around. That's fake news. How about fake news? It was a video that caused all those deaths at Benghazi. What a lie. And then she's complaining about fake news. Now, we've seen that in the politics. All the excuses and all the experts saying why it happened. You know what an expert is, don't you? Just a little spurt away from home. That's all he is. Watch out for the experts. I'm sidetracking myself now, but when I was a kid, I used to hate to hear this. I hear mama or some of the kin folks or some of the adults say, I'd say, why do that? They'd say, just because. I'd say, because why? And they'd say, well, that's what they say. I always wanted to meet they. That authoritative group called they. You better watch out for they today, brother. That's part of the deception again. You better be careful on that. But all the excuses, now it's the Russians. Blaming the Russians. You do understand that the voting machines were not online. They could not be hacked. You got to be online. Do you understand what I'm talking to you about? Watch out for this junk they propagate today. Fake news. And by the way, some of it coming out of Syria is really bad. We don't know who we arming over there. Now here's a woman. She's really a good one. She's a Democrat. Two times over in Iraq, served her time over there, and she's in Congress now, but she's a Democrat. She is telling us how wrong we are. We are arming the wrong group in Syria. And it's the group that is persecuting the believers, the Christians over there. And this lady, even not a Republican now, but a Democrat. I hope she changes when she gets a chance, but anyway, that's my opinion. Anyway, Gabbard is her name, and she is really on point of showing what we're doing. Trump is right when he says we don't know who we're arming. We don't know who they are, and the weapons we're given is falling into the wrong hands. That's the deception I'm talking about. That's the fake news that I'm talking to you about this morning. It's true in our politics in America, and our military. I say it over and over. I'm going to keep saying it. Our military is being religiously persecuted. There's a bill right now that the president is threatening to veto, but somebody, some good congressman, put in that bill that the soldiers, the military, ought to have a right to pray when they want to and practice their religion, and he's talking about vetoing it. You see, he considers that anti-Islam, a promotion of Christianity. If America can't promote its own beginning, its own foundation, the God that made us great, then what in the world is wrong with us today? But the fake news business. It was here in Nehemiah's day. They wanted to stop him. There's a purpose behind it. Satan wants to stop God. Yeah, I'm talking about they can't figure out making excuses for the election. They just can't believe God might have got in it. They just can't believe that there was a bunch of people in America still that woke up and spoke up at the voting booth. And sad truth is, I don't think they are going to wake up. They're electing now. Now, I've said it before. I'm going to say it several more times. They're electing now. They're choosing now, if they choose him, a Muslim to head the Democratic Party. I didn't. Hey, get mad at me if you want to. He was sworn in on the Quran, and he's anti-Israel. And by the way, he's anti-Christianity, too. He's partner with Louis Farrakhan. You know who that is? Y'all know who that is. That's the Muslim fella. Oh, I get off that. I didn't park there too long. I want to say this. Fake news, we see it in our politics. We see it coming over the wire. Fake news is put out against the Bible and put out against the church. I've had folks, you've heard this. I've had folks say, well, that Bible says the earth is square. It does not. In fact, Columbus would have not known the world was round had he not read his Bible. I mean, you remember Isaiah over there, Isaiah chapter 40, he said, God sets on the circle of the earth. Columbus, when he went out to sail the ocean blue, you memorize that? When he went out to sail the ocean blue, he already knew it was round because his Bible said so. He knew about it already. And but the Bible says the four corners of the earth. Yes, east, west, north, and south. Yes, it does. So does the Marines. Did you ever see a sign in the post office where it said we'd like to have a few good men? I like that sign. Few good men. But then another sign says they serve on all four corners of the earth. Do you think they thought it was square? Of course not. That's terminology. Terminology. No, the Bible don't say the earth was square. It said it was round even when men thought it was square. And they said, well, the Bible's against women. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. There's never been a book that elevated women above this book. There's never been a religion, and Christianity is a religion, though we need to understand the difference in religion and Christianity, but there's never been anything like the Christian religion to elevate women. If you don't believe it, just take a look at the Muslim ladies. See what is being done to them. There's one right now in prison, looks like she is going to be executed. A Christian woman living over there, and she went to the well, and they have a cup, what we'd call a community cup there, where you can drink at the well, but it's an Islamic cup, and she, as a Christian woman, went and drank out of that cup. She's been in jail now for several years. They're about to execute her, blasphemy for a Christian woman to have drank out of a Muslim cup at the well. Best I can see it in English, her name is Bibi, B-I-B-I. You ought to pray. Looks like she's going to have her head chopped off for that. Don't give me this business about the Bible being against women. The Bible is what has elevated womanhood to what it is. Jesus Christ. Every woman ought to fall in love with him, because you talk about being liberated in the right sense. It's through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Oh, you hear all this false news against the Bible. Well, you know, we believe in evolution. Well, you believe your ancestor swung from his tail. I don't believe mine did. Might have had some swung from the neck somewhere, but none of them by the tail, bless God. I think more of my God. He created, he didn't have to take time to go through an amoeba and a frog, a tadpole and a frog and a monkey to get to what he wanted to build. And man, bless God, he built him just like the Bible says, just like that. Adam was created by God. No, you hear all the false lies today. I could go on down the list with them. You got the liberals saying, well, Christ didn't rise bodily. Oh, yes, he did. Amen. And he appeared. And even doubting Thomas had to find out he had a wounds in his hand and his side. He had prayed bodily. They said, well, his second coming is just mythical. No, it's not. Revelation chapter 1 says when he comes back, every eye will see him. Oh, yes. That's where he comes back in glory. We believe he's secretly coming for the church before that. But every eye will see him. But we look around today and we hear all kind of false news every way you want to look. And just like in Nehemiah's day, Satan wanted to stop what God was doing. He wants to stop it today. He is trying his best. And the big shock in the election and the big shock to the culture today is God just might have spoke. Might have got in it. And I'm saying might because it's not all through with yet, but I'm just saying this. It'd be a wonderful thing if God's church and God's people could wake up and stand up and speak up like they should for the cause of Christ in this day and time. Well, there are fake news concerning the Bible and church, fake news worst of all concerning the gospel. You know, we talk about here at Christmas time, what is the gospel? It's the good news that Jesus come. That's God's good news. In a world full of bad news, thank God for the good news. But they don't. The gospel tells you this, all are sinners. Listen, man is not a sinner because he sins. He is a sinner already. Bible tells us a man is depraved in his heart. Tells us as soon as we are babies, we go forth speaking lies. You don't like that? My precious baby could speak a lie? Let me ask you. Did one ever cry when there was nothing wrong with them? Huh? Of course, the Bible's right. Sure. David said, I was conceived, born in iniquity. That's the depravity of the flesh as we follow our federal head, Adam, right on, and have that nature. There's no doubt about that. But they don't like to hear today, everybody needs a Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was gassing my car one time at a service station. Been a long time ago. And I pulled out a track. I'll tell you how long ago it was. Somebody came out to help me. Boy, that's been a while. That's been a while. And I pulled out my track and gave it to the young man. He wasn't all that young, but I spoke to him and said, you go to church anywhere? No. I said, you know Christ is your Savior? I don't need a Savior. I said, you never have sinned? He said, no, never have. Truth. I said, I think you just did. What? I said, the Bible says you're not supposed to bear false witness. You just lied. Yeah, we're all sinners. No matter what you say about it, we're all sinners. Sad truth is today they don't like to hear that. It's this big thing, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Bunch of foolishness. I had some kids enrolled in college one time, Scotty, from one of the foreign lands, and they have a system over there. And they were fussing because we were making them work. They were on a work scholarship. We're having to carry some stuff up and down the stairs, I think, at the hotel. And they said, you're just a slave driver. I said, what do you mean? Well, where we live, we have folks that do this for us. I said, I want to tell you something. You're on common ground in America. I said, we got one verse we all fit into. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brother, there's no caste, no higher than anybody else. They didn't last long. But the truth of the matter is they don't like the gospel, what it says, but don't experience bear it out. Don't raise your hand to this real careful now, real fast. You ever known anybody that didn't sin? One man raised his hand when the preacher said that. He said, sir, did you understand me? He said, yeah, I understood you. Have you ever known a man that didn't sin? He said, yeah, my wife's first husband. Now, we laugh about that. All of us have sinned. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the truth of the gospel. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. Now, here's a lie about the gospel. We've got to be careful about this, folks. Teach your kids, be good and God will love you. No, God loves you anyhow. Be good and you can go to heaven. No, goodness don't get you to heaven. Only the goodness of Jesus can get you to heaven. He's the substitute. He's the sacrifice. He's the one that paid for our sins. And my goodness is filthy rags in his sight, the Bible says. No righteousness of my own. I thank God for what it says over there in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And that's positive. He saved us. We're saved in the righteousness of Jesus, not our own. We don't have it. We're sinners. And the good news of Christmas is God sent us a Savior. Of all the things at Christmas, our kids need to get off of Santa Claus and off of Christmas trees and on to the Savior. Understand the real, genuine truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot of fake news going around. A lot of fake news. Jesus warned about the fake news in Matthew chapter 7. He said, that day they'll come to me saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? And Jesus said, in that day I'll say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Right. Not I knew you and you lost it. No, 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 no. I never knew you. Somebody heard false news. Somebody got deceived. Somebody was acting on what they had heard, but what they'd heard was wrong. And their false gospel today has got a lot of folks deceived. They've heard the false news. Folks, you better get it straight from the Word of God. Your soul depends on hearing the truth and acting on the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and he's the only truth that can get you to heaven. Now, fake news is everywhere. It's sad to find out something's fake. We all get deceived sometimes with some little something we buy, don't we? Some advertisement don't work. Sure we do. But you know, I'm so glad when I heard the truth about Jesus, there's never been anything fake about it. And he moved into my heart, it was very real. He made a new creature out of me. He gave me peace where I didn't have peace. He gave me hope where I didn't have hope. And he's going to give me victory one day when he comes back for me. In the meantime, he'll help me as I live in the presence of sin. But bless God, he's moved the penalty of sin away. And one day he'll move me out of the presence of sin. Amen? That's the Lord Jesus. That's what I have in him. He's the truth. He'll not fake you out. Luke 11, Jesus was talking. He said, if a son asks a fish, will his father give him a serpent? No. He's saying, your father loves you more than an earthly father can love his son. And if an earthly father will give his son the best things, how much more the heavenly father? Wonderful truth there. Now, fake news around here and there. One of the things they say is, oh, preacher, you can't know you're saved. You'll have to wait and find out. This Bible tells me I can know. That God wants me to know. You know, a great peace comes from knowing. You know, somebody could leave you $1 million, and if you didn't know it, you'd never use it, you'd never benefit from it. There's a wonderful thing about knowing my name's written in heaven. The price of my sins has been met, it's been paid. I've got eternal life waiting on me. I'm already enjoying it as if I'd already been there 10 years, brother. It's a fact. It's true. It's not fake. It's real. And we often sing songs like it's real down in my heart. That sort of thing. Knowing that we're saved. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, these things that you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Now you see, Nehemiah didn't get tricked. He recognized the news was fake. He acted on the truth, and his truth was to get the walls built. Because the day came that the Lord Jesus Christ entered through that eastern gate of the wall that Nehemiah built. He came into the temple area. We call it Palm Sunday. He was crucified and he rose again. God knew all that when he had Nehemiah building the walls. Satan was trying to stop it. He did it with fake news. He caused them a lot of trouble, but he didn't prevent Nehemiah from getting the job done. And I want to say, no matter how Satan fights through politics, through wars, through deception, and everything he's doing today, he's not going to win. Jesus is going to win. I mean, brother, we already have the assurance and we have read the back of the book. We know who wins. Now, I want to say to you today, whatever you've heard, you better check it out according to the Word of God. I can tell you, according to God's Word, he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's an invitation from Jesus. He'll receive you. The Bible says, unto as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God. Say, what's the difference in you and what it used to be? Jesus. Jesus. He'll make that difference with you this morning. And that's not fake news, brother. That's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Will you come to him this morning? So I heard this and heard that. The devil's in the faking business. Jesus is in the truth business. Will you let him be your Savior today? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I remember when I come to Jesus, I'm glad I heard the truth. I got through all the fake stuff I'd ever heard and came to Jesus, who's the truth. And if I died today, I'd go to heaven, and I know that. Can you say that with the uplifted hand this morning? Isn't it wonderful that you can lift the hand that you know Christ? Do you remember when you couldn't do that? I do. I remember when I walked into church and a preacher gave an invitation like this, and I couldn't lift my hand. I was not going to lie. I didn't know anybody could know they were going to heaven, but when I heard the good news, I said, thank God he loved me while I was yet a sinner. I've never been sad of that time I came and received the Lord Jesus. How about you this morning? I'm going to pray. Just before I pray, would you say, preacher, I need to be saved. I've heard a lot of stuff that wasn't true, but I need to come to the truth. I need to come to Jesus. Have me in mind when you pray. Would you lift that hand, please, this morning? Would you do it? Care for my soul. Think about me when you pray. Heads are bowed. I'm looking. God's looking. Would you lift that hand? You care for your soul. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you. Lord, I didn't see a hand. I doubt, Father. I doubt every soul in this building saved. I know out in radio land right now, there's people listening that are not saved. I pray for them now. I pray for here in this room this morning. I pray, Father, that in this day of fakery, in this day of deception, that somebody would cut through it and come to the truth, who's the Lord Jesus, and trust him to save their soul, something they can't do, to pay for their sins, something they can't do, nobody else can do, only Jesus. I pray you'd bless in the invitation, Father, and I pray you'd speak to hearts. Each one would do what you've asked them to do this morning.